Good morning, students. Welcome to all of you in the first session of the sixth lesson, Bhakti Supi Tradition. In this lesson, we will be discuss about Bhakti and Supi movement in India. Introduction of lesson. By the mid-first millennium CE, the landscape of the subcontinent was dotted the variety of religious structure, stupas and temples. These typical certain religious belief and practices, other have been reconstructed from textual traditions including Puranas. There were 18 Puranas. New textual sources available include composition of poet Sant expressed orally in the regional language, a mosaic of religious belief and practices. Integration of the cults. Historians who have tried to understand this development suggested that there were at least two processes at work. One was a process of dismantling the Brahmanical ideas. During the period from 8th century to 18th century in India, we came across a wide range of gods and goddesses in sculpture and text. At one level, these indicate the extended worship of major deities, Vishnu and Shivas, and mother goddess, each of whom was visualized in a variety of forms. In this complex situation, an attempt was made for integration of various cults, which included two processes. First, the process of dismantling of Brahmanical ideas. This is the amplified by the composition, compilation and preservation of Puranic texts in simple Sanskrit verses, clearly meant to be accessible to Shudras and women who were generally excluded from the Vedic learning. At the same time, there was second process at which work, that of the Brahmanical, accepted and revoking the belief and practices, these and social categories. Second, the process of Brahmanical accepting and revoking the practices of other social categories. It was done through a system of continuous dialogue between what sociologists have described as the great Sanskritic Puranic tradition and literary tradition. Example, one of the most striking examples of this process is the evidence at Puri, Orissa, where the principal deity was identified as Jagannath, a form of Vishnu. Now, differences and conflict among the cults often associated with the goddess were form of worship that were classified as tantric. Tantric practices were widespread in several parts of the subcontinent. They were open to all men and women, ignore differences of caste and class within the ritual context. Many of these ideas influenced Shaivism as well as Buddhism. The diverse is perhaps most stark if we compare the Vedic and Puranic tradition. The principal deities to the Vedic pantheons, Agni, Indra and Somas. Poem of the prayer, early tradition of the Bhakti. In the course of this form of the worship, in many instances, the poet Sant emerges as a leader around whom they develop a community of devotees. While Brahman remains important intermediate between God and devotee in several forms. Early Bhakti tradition. The Bhakti movement of Hinduism saw two ways of imaging the nature of divine, that is the Brahman. They were divided into two groups, first Nirgun and second Shagun. The first we will discuss about the Shagun Bhakti, which attribute the God has form. Shagun Bhakti, which see God in physical form, believe in doctrine incarnation. They worship the specific deity like Vishnu, Shiva and Devi. Example, form of Vishnu, Rama by Tulsidas, Krishna by Mirabai. Now we will discuss about the Nirgun Bhakti. Nirgun Bhakti was concept of ultimate reality as formless, without attribute or quality or lack of physical attribute in God. Nirgun Bhakti is devotion toward a formless God. Bhakt, worship on abstract form of the God. Example, Sant Kabir, Baba Guru Nanak. Then we will be discuss about the silent feature of bhakti movement. Emphasis on unity of God. Stress on without the utmost devotion. Stress on self-surrender. Faith in spiritual guide or guru. Salvation without the grace or guru. Renouncing the band of casteism. Next topic, Alwar and Nayanar of Tamil Nadu. Some of the earliest bhakti tradition, it was led by Alwar. Alwar, those who immerse in the devotion of Vishnu. Nayanar, literally, who were devotees of Lord Shiva. Nayanar and Alwar were the Tamil poet Sant who propagated bhakti movement in South India. The 7th to the 9th century saw the emergence of new religious movement led by Nayanar, Sant devoted to Shiva, Alwar, Sant devoted to Vishnu, who came from all the castes, including those considered untouchable. They were sharply critical of Buddhists and Jainas and preached adorant love of Shiva or Vishnu as a path of salvation. They drew upon the ideal of love, heroism as found in the Sangam literature, the earliest example of Tamil literature, composed in the early centuries of the Common Era. The Nayanar and Alwar went from place to place composing the poem in the praise of deities enshrining in the village they visited and set them to the music. There were 63 Nayanar who belongs to the different caste background, such as potter, untouchables, workers, peasants, hunters, soldiers, Brahmins and chief. Now next topic is protest against the caste system. The Alwar and Nayanar initiated a movement of protest against the caste system and the dominance of Brahmanas. The importance of tradition of Alwar and Nayanar were sometime indicated by the claims of their composition were as important as Vedas. Women devotee. One of the most striking features of this tradition was the presence of women as devotee. The composition of Andal, women, Alwar, were widely sung. Andal saw herself as a beloved of Vishnu's. Karaikal Ammanyar, a devotee of Shiva, adopted the path extreme ascetic to attain her goal. Her composition were preserved within the Nayanar tradition. These women renounced for their social obligation. Now next topic is relation with the state. Then we will discuss what was the relation with the state. There were several important chiefdoms in Tamil region in the early first millennium CE. From the second half of the first millennium, there is evidence of state, including those of Pallavas and Pandyas. One of the major themes in the Tamil Bhakti hymns is that poet opposition to the Buddhism and Jainism. This is particularly marked in the composition of Nayanars. Now the next topic is the Veerashaiva tradition in Karnataka. The 12th century witnesses the emergence of new movements in Karnataka led by a Brahmin named Basavanna, who was initially Jain. His followers, known as the Veerashaivas, heroes of Shiva, or Lingayat, wearer of Linga. Lingayat is the important community in the region till date. They worship Shiva in the manifestation as a Linga. Lingayat believed that the death of devotee will be united with Shiva's and will not return to the world. The Lingayat challenged the ideas of caste. The Lingayat also encouraged certain practices such as post-puberty marriage and remarriage of widows. Now next topic is religious ferment in the North India. During the same period in the North India, deities such as Vishnu and Shiva worship in the temple, often built with the support of ruler. Some historians pointed that in the North India, this was the period when the several Rajput states emerged. At the same time, other religious leaders who did not function within the orthodox Brahmanical framework were gaining around. Many of these religious leaders questioned the authority of Vedas and expressed themselves in the languages spoken by ordinary people. Now I would like to give some assignment to you. First, what were the most striking features of the sculpture as well as the text of phase 8 to 18th century? Second, what was the practice of tantric worship? Express any two features. Third, who was Basavanna? Fourth, explain two religious belief and behavior of Lingayat. Fifth, who were Alvar and Nayanar? How women devotion was associated with the Bhakti tradition? Give example. Thank you very much.